live from the HananiahAutos.com studio. This is Jaguars Monday.
Jaguars Monday.
Jaguars Monday with J.P. Shadrick, Jaguars great Tony Boselli, and CBSSports.com senior writer Pete Prisco is sponsored by Ticket Exchange, Geico, and by Everbank.
Question for me, and I know I'm fighting a little something right now, so maybe not on my A game. But since when did the clock start running on a PAT? Isn't the PAT a dead ball play? Untimed down?
Well, that was a field goal. No.
Field goal. See?
I know you're off your game.
That's why I'm off my game.
Jaguars Monday starts right now.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
Jaguars Monday. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Boselli, Pete Prisco is on the line.
That's from last year in Houston. I was sick as a dog throwing up. I actually fell asleep during the game. I had a fever. I had no business being there. And I'll be honest, I got all disoriented. I didn't know what the heck was going on. I was lost.
That's like every Monday on this show.
It's close. But that was one of the worst ever.
It's a great way to get it started, though. We'll play it again next break,
Joe,
too.
Thank you for adding that to the show as you limp around.
Is Joe back today?
He's back, baby. Pete, here's the difference between Joe and I. Joe misses work when he doesn't feel good. He calls in. I don't feel good. I can't make it. Me? I fight through it.
Am I here? I'm right here.
Last week, I didn't think you were here.
Yeah, I wasn't here last
week. Yeah, you were
here
last week.
No, you weren't.
I fight through it.
You missed the game. You were on the shelf last week.
Yeah, I was literally throwing up during the game.
That's disgusting.
And maybe a little stuff coming out the other end
as
well.
That's disgusting.
And
that's more disgusting for the people that you're in the booth with than you.
Well, I went to the bathroom to do that, Pete. But I was fighting through it. Sweating, fever. Can't hold me down. Now, I might not know what I'm talking about while I'm doing it, but
we just heard.
We heard?
Yeah.
I bet that was a pleasant plane ride home, getting up every 15 minutes.
Oh, it was miserable. Gosh, I was sick for like 2 or 3 days. But I didn't miss work like Joe did.
Well, all that aside, everybody's here. Everybody's healthy-ish now, and the Jags are 8-4. They're healthy. They're getting healthy, too. 8-4, tied for first place. They got a 30-10 win.
Uh-oh.
What?
That's we're going to play
song.
The stupid song. I finally heard that the other day, Pete. They pulled it up in
somebody,
the office.
Sent me a tweet the other day and said he's played it for the last three home games or something, and he's excited about it because they've been winning.
Well, they won the home games. How about that?
What is –
Well, you better play it this week then.
Did you watch the game?
Yeah.
Can we play the Colts every week? Because for whatever reason – Blake Bortles plays his best games. It's two games the Colts this year.
Well, it's six in a row. He's had a 90.
Well, I'll give you a reason why.
But I'm just saying, over 300 yards. He had over 100 rating this week, didn't he, again?
Right. But he's got six meetings with the Colts in a row where he's in the 90s rating.
But it's been dominating.
I'll give you a reason why.
I watched the tape just a second ago.
Yeah?
He's spinning it. I mean, the throws he's making are unbelievable. Where's that the rest of the time?
Well, I'm going to give you a reason why.
Why?
Aside from the fact that Colts aren't a very good team.
Okay.
He threw on nine of the first 12 first down plays in the first half.
I thought of you in the opening drive, Pete. Pass to open the game.
Well, you know what? If you give the kid a chance to throw the ball on first down, his confidence grows. When he gets put in obvious passing situations, his confidence, he throws an incomplete pass and then he goes down into the tank. I mean, he's bad after that. Let him get some confidence and take some chances and back people off and take your shots. And they did it. 9 of the first 12. Think about that. In the first half, they threw on 9 of their 12 first down plays.
I thought it was
good. That's the reason they moved the ball. And that's why the reason he looked good.
I thought it was good that the receivers caught the ball, too.
Helpful.
And got open.
Helpful.
Hey, they ran some bunch and cross. Did you see that?
Well, they do that all. They do that all the time, Pete.
They don't do it as much as they should.
They run more crossing patterns than any team I know.
They don't cross the receivers. They run crossing patterns. They don't bunch and pick and rub. They run crossing patterns. I agree with you.
You don't seem to agree, Tony.
I forget which play it was, but I think it was a Marquise Lee play where he came across underneath another receiver and they kind of picked him off and he got a big play out of it.
Yeah, they do that quite a bit.
No, they don't. Not enough.
They did it yesterday, though.
So you're saying basically the fact that they threw on first down is why Blake looks so good.
That contributes to it. Correct. A bad team, too. Don't get me wrong.
I was about to say, they got three rookies in the secondary, too, right?
I wonder how much of it is that the Colts being bad gives Nathaniel Hackett the confidence of opening it up.
Okay. I get it. Mm-hmm. I get that's exactly what it is. But why not try and do it again next week when you're playing a better defense?
Outside of how many times did they throw on first down against the Cardinals? Now, I know they opened the game up run, but after that, I think they tried to throw it on first down.
Yeah, they got blitzed to daylights in that game.
Okay, that's my point. I mean, they couldn't pick it up. They struggled.
I'll go looking back. I bet it's not nearly as much as 9 out of 12.
I don't know whether it is or not, Pete, but...
And you know, look, I'm even counting the 50,000 screen passes they run a week. But, I mean, still, it's better than not throwing it.
Well, the run game right now, and that's something I want to talk about today, is not good.
They're still number one in the National Football League.
Give me the stats right there.
But it's not – Tony's right. It's not a good run game right now.
Right.
Let's look at – I mean, Leonard Fournette, 20 for 57, and one of those is a 29-yard run. So
that was at the end, too.
At the end. Yeah. He was at one point before the end, he was 19 for 28.
That's terrible.
It's not good.
It's awful. Chris Ivory, 4 for 12. I mean, overall, even with a 29-yard run, and if you count Blake Bortles' run, which one was not a designed run, but the long was 24 for Fournette, not 29. The scramble of 20 for Blake. So take Blake's rush yards out of there because those are scrambles. You had 24 carries for 69 yards. That's well under 3 yards a carry. Well under 3 yards a carry. That's a problem.
That's even with the pass game working and spreading it out.
Right. So,
allegedly,
something else isn't working.
Sure.
So I watched the tape, like I just said. Well, first, Fournette had a tweet he sent out today to all his fans.
I saw that.
He's running against 11 in the box, which he's not, by the way.
How many were in the box on the tape, Tony? Was there
never
11 a lot of time?
Yeah, they're getting – they get, you know, 9 in the box if they go the 3 wides. They get 8 in the box if they run 21 personnel. And a lot of times they're getting 7 in the box if they go on 11 personnel. I mean, but a lot of teams see that. Not everyone. I mean, but teams see that. And they threw against it. That's why they're successful throwing. But just for context, they were seeing just the same fronts early in the year and they were running the ball against us. And it's a couple things to me. I don't think the offensive line is staying on blocks like they were. I thought some of the backside was combination blocks was very sloppy by everybody, including the tight ends. And I don't think Leonard Fournette's healthy.
He said it himself.
Well, but
he's not.
Okay, but in a bad, I don't think he can make cuts. I think there's stuff there. I don't think he can get north and south after he goes horizontal. I don't see the jump cut. I don't see the spin move very often at all anymore. And I see him running out of bounds well before contact is made. In fact, one time I saw him running backwards.
And he got hurt again.
Yeah, limped off.
So if he's going to run like that, I think you might be better with Ivory and Yeldon and Corey Grant until he can get healthy. I'm not nothing to get if he's that hurt. I mean, he can't
function like that.
Goes back to my theory on drafting running backs in the top 5.
Oh, here you go, Pete.
But that's what I see. Now, is he running into heavy boxes? Yes, but he did that early in the year too, and he ran fine. He'd make cuts. He'd see little holes. He'd hit creases. He'd get 3, 4, 5 yards. He'd wear guys out. And I just don't see it.
Yeah, I think he's hurt because he's not the same back.
He's
clearly
not.
He's
I think he's hurt.
The same back.
And I remember when he – I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but didn't the first half of the season, if he would finish guys and punish guys. Now he's running out of bounds. He does not want the contact. And I don't know if that's because of injury or what it is.
Defense, Jaguars D, a couple takeaways, had some sacks yesterday, 4 in the game.
Are we already off offense?
No, we're covered.
We're not getting off offense.
I mean, we're going to come back in the second.
I mean, my
segment.
Goodness, we just I'm trying to hit the run game, and we're jumping around.
I don't know if you follow the show each Monday, Tony, because you're sometimes here and not mentally. But in the opening segment, we hit both sides, and then we go to offense in segment two.
It's my show.
Can we keep doing that?
It's my show, and I'll
about
do what
that?
I want. Fine, go ahead.
Thank you. Defensively, two takeaways, interceptions from Ramsey to turn him away right before halftime to Sean Gibson later in the game. And then the Saxonville crew came through with four more sacks on the day. I mean, you kind of saw this one coming, right?
Well, they were suffocating. They were not great against the run. They gave up 141 yards rushing, 5.4 yards a carry. Now, if you take out Jacoby Brissett's numbers out of that, he had 36 yards on six carries. So basically,
and he had a long run by Mack, right?
But that counts. From their running backs, 19 carries for 107 yards, so over 5 yards a carry. And it was a couple long runs, and they were a little bit soft at times during in the run game. And in fairness, I did not watch. I didn't get a chance to watch the defensive tape like I did the offensive tape. I had a crazy day today. So, but watching it live, it was the interior stuff. I think, you know, I would bet if I was watching it, it's this, you know, a little bit soft inside at times, gap control. And soft's probably not the right word. And I do think they miss Telvin against the run a little bit. He makes up for a lot of stuff when he's on the backside. He's able to recover and makes a lot of plays and erases things that maybe were 4 or 5 yard carries, and maybe typically they're only 2 or 3. I mean, that's a little bit speculating and a little bit watching it live. So, but one way or another, it was not great run defense. With that said, there was never a moment in that game I thought the offense could move the ball consistently. They were suffocating.
No.
I mean, it was never. So even though they gave up the 141, some of that was late when it didn't matter. They had no chance at any point to do anything against that Jaguar defense. It's just, I don't know.
What do you think of the pass rush yesterday? What do you think of the pass rush yesterday?
Oh, good, not great.
Right.
Good, not
That's
great.
What I thought just watching it, just rewatching it and watching. I haven't watched the 22 yet, obviously, but it didn't look like it had earlier in the season.
I thought they were better. I think Malik rushed the ball, rushed passer pretty well interiorly in the interior.
Interiorly,
yeah, he's been better
in the interior.
Interiorly, did you hear that one?
Oh, you agree, Tony? His game is elevated in the last month.
Yeah, he's playing well. Ngakoue had a couple nice rushes, but Costanza did a pretty good job as well. But you're not gonna win every pass rush. You getting rhythms or you getting runs as a defensive line during certain games where the offensive line is just overwhelmed. But for the most part, that's not going to happen. And also, Brissett was getting back there and getting rid of it at times. And so it's going to be difficult. That's why having this great secondary is such a luxury, because it forces, when the pass rush isn't, you know, maybe dominating per se, you force them. And I thought Calais Campbell said it. Listen, a lot of times these sacks are team efforts, because the secondary is covering up so well, it's giving us a little bit extra time to get there. But overall,
hey, one quick thing on the defense. Tashaun Gibson took a beating in town last year, right?
He's playing really well.
Him. He's playing really good football. He got it. Look, for all the crap he took last year, and deservedly so, and he said some things after the season that turned some people off, but the kid has bounced back, and he's having a heck of a season for them this year.
Playing really really good brand of football, high level. Just like the rest of the defense is. So, I mean, we could nitpick here and say this about the defense or that. The bottom line is, when you play a team and after the first half, you realize, I said it, when it was 10-0, I'm like, this thing's over. There's no chance this offense of the Colts is going to do anything. And then when it got to 17, I knew for a fact there was no chance, unless something like the end of the world came, the Colts were scoring enough points to win this football game.
Nice win for the Jags. 30-10. We'll come back and get back on the offensive side. Blake Bortles, can he sustain what he did yesterday?
Well, you asked this 5 weeks ago when they played Indianapolis as well.
I'm going to ask it again when we come back.
Well, they didn't sustain the way they played against Indy last time, so you got to give them a chance.
We'll find out when we return your calls in the second hour, 355-NFL1. The Tony Boselli Twitter question of the night, if you would be so kind, Tony, to find one for us. And we'll do the Pro Football Focus grades. That's in the second hour as well. It's Jaguars Victory Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Yeah, I do see a lot of room for improvement. I think that, you know, we got off to a good start, and I think people have made, obviously, a very conscious effort to stop us in the run game. And it goes back to kind of what I said in the beginning. I mean, when you're a good running football team, then, you know, you should always be able to run the ball when everybody knows you're running it. And, you know, we're not at that level yet, and we're working hard for it. I think that, you know, being able to show that we were able to throw yesterday and make some plays, I think those things will obviously help, because I think at the end of the day, you know, from a defensive standpoint, you know, you have to be worried about both from a balanced aspect of it, and then I think you have a chance to succeed. A little bit more pressure when it's just, you know, when you're one-dimensional.
Doug Marrone today on a conference call with the media after the Jags win 30-10 over the Indianapolis Colts in Week 13. Jaguars Monday, J.P. Shattuck, Tony Boselli, Pete Prisco, your calls in the second hour tonight. We were talking run game earlier. How do they figure it out? Is it more than just Fournette being banged up a little bit right now? What can they do up front differently?
They got to block better. I think the more success they have in the pass game, they'll loosen it up a little bit. I thought the wide receivers did a poor job of getting the run support a couple times, meaning the linebacker or the safety that's down that, you know, is on the edge. You'll see a lot of times them have to dig them out or at least get a body on them. They did not, and allowed a free guy in the backfield. I just don't think Leonard Fournette's healthy. I don't see any dynamic cuts or finishing the runs like we've seen out of him in the first half of the season. I just have not
Tony,
seen that.
Tony, how much does not having the five together in the last couple, three or four weeks, impact that running game? Because it is something, and you know this, you can attest to this, that you got to work together to in cohesion to get that run game going.
I mean, maybe a little bit, but not averaging 3 yards a carry, Pete. Shouldn't affect that much. I mean, come on.
Are you putting it more on Fournette than the line?
Or I put it on both. On both. Yeah. I don't think the offensive line is playing as well as they had in the past. I don't think they're finishing blocks and staying on and sustaining the blocks like we saw in the past. And when I talk offensive line, I include the tight ends. I thought they were overwhelmed physically at times. In this game, they got pushed around.
They better get ready for one this week. If they're getting overwhelmed by that defense on the edges, they better get ready for more here.
I agree. I think they're missing some stuff on the backside. And I don't think there's anything dynamic about the way Leonard Fournette's running right now.
I see
a different back than I saw the first half of the season.
I haven't watched the 22, but just looking at it, so plays that normally when he's healthy wouldn't get run down from the backside or getting run down from the backside?
No, it's not as much as that, but it's Pete, you know how the good backs are. A little crease, they plant that foot,
right,
and they get north and south, and they
right.
hit it. I don't
Correct.
See that.
Like he did early in the year.
That's right. I don't see that.
Not good. Last week in the Arizona game, Blake Bortles hit a few passes right on the money the guys were dropping, right? He made some good throws in that game that were not caught. Well, this week he made throws. They were caught and had a very good game. And before the break, we teased with this. Can he sustain this kind of performance the rest of the way?
I'm going to answer it like I said. I told you last time you asked that question.
Mm-hmm.
I hope so, but I've seen no evidence of it.
Zero.
So I hope so, but I've seen zero evidence that we can expect to see this week in and week out. I mean, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but we can do it quickly.
What are you looking for?
Quickly. You probably can do it.
What?
What are his numbers between? So we played Indy. Last time we played Indy, it was over a quarterback rating, 100 quarterback rating, passer rating, I should say. This time it's over 100 passer rating. Mm-hmm. They had, five games in between? Four games in between? Mm-hmm. Five. Four. Four games in between. What were the numbers in those four games?
Stand by. I'll get to you.
Stand by.
Stand by.
And while you're standing by, I can talk about how you...
Do you think it's sustainable, Pete?
Not to that level, no. No way. 26 of 35 for 309. 26 for 35, 309, two touchdowns and no picks. If he plays that way the rest of the way, go to Minneapolis and get your hotel rooms reserved, okay? He's not playing that way the rest of the way. It's just not happening. Even you would admit, Tony, you guaranteed the Super Bowl anyways, but if he played like this, they're a legitimate Super Bowl contender.
Yes.
And he that's why he I can't see him continue to play like this. Now, having said that, giving him the opportunity to play like that helped him. I can almost predict next week, it's going to be a slugfest against that Seattle defense. We can't turn it over. So, Blake, we're going to turn and hand off as much as possible, and you're going to be put in obvious passing situations on third down, and you know what's going to happen? You're going to turn the ball over because that's the way we play when you play that way. That's what's going to happen.
Well, did you go do the research I asked you to, Pete? How many times on first down they throw last week?
2 weeks ago against Arizona, you're talking about,
that's
right?
I mean, Arizona, yeah.
Okay, I'll do it.
No.
By the way, I've got the ratings the last few weeks. Is that what you're looking for, right?
Yeah, just ratings.
All right, so at Indianapolis.
And numbers. How about numbers?
Okay, at Indianapolis, that win, he was 18 of 26, 330, a 124.7 rating. Great day, obviously. Touchdown, no picks. Next week, Cincinnati, or 2 weeks later after the bye, 24-38, 259, a touchdown, no picks, a 91.9 rating.
Okay.
Good day.
Take that.
Chargers, 28 of 51, 273 passing, one touchdown, two late interceptions, a 60.3 rating.
Okay.
At Cleveland, 17 of 30, 154, one touchdown, no picks, 81.8 in the weather. At Arizona, 19 of 33, 160. One interception, no touchdowns, 57.6 rating, and then this past week.
So, had a good game in Cincinnati and two bad games.
Well, the game against the Chargers was okay until the fourth quarter.
It was okay. The game's on the line. You throw two picks in the last 2 minutes.
It said until the fourth quarter.
That's like saying I had a great game except for the five sacks I let up on those five plays.
That was a bad game. Okay, fine.
I mean, Pete, am I wrong?
The Cleveland game was a running game anyway.
Well, read the attempts he had in Cleveland. Is that a running
30,
game?
30, I know, yeah.
I mean, come on.
But if he played that way, Tony, the rest of the way, I mean, nobody's going to sit here and say they wouldn't be a legitimate Super Bowl contender.
No, I said it right here. If the offense can get to 20 – and not turn the ball over. If the offense gets to 20 points, not turn it over, and not give it, and the special teams does not give up a special teams score, they'll win every time. I'm just telling you right now, if they play that way, they'll win every game. There's no one beating them.
You gonna go ahead and throw it out there and say they're gonna run the table, or?
Well, if they do those things, that's what I just said.
No, but are you going to just go out there and say, you're just going to go throw it out there now?
JP, do you listen to what I said?
I know what you're saying.
Just said it, you idiot.
Well, you're saying they're going to run the table.
You're dense.
Are they going to run the table?
Pete, did you hear what I said, Pete?
Yeah.
I mean,
follow it up.
Let's go.
I mean, he is.
Come on, big boy. Put your
big boy
put where your mouth is.
Yeah. First of all, you should look in the mirror because there's only one big boy here of that gut, and that's you.
Hey, Tony, 5 out of 12 of their first 12 first down plays were passes last week against Arizona. Now, I take the 2 minutes out in this final 2 minutes because, look, they got to throw in that situation anyways, but 5 out of 12 runs. I mean, not passes. So 7 to 5. So clearly they threw the ball more in first down this week.
Yeah,
no doubt.
Sure.
You know why do you hate that? Why does that bother you so much?
No, it did bother me.
It does bother you,
Pete. I've said
every week I bring it up, you get mad about it. But there's some rhyme and rhythm to it.
No, I make a. I say all the time. I think they need to throw more on first down. I said on the broadcast. I said in the pregame. I think it's one of the things they need to do. It's when Blake's at his best. I said in the broadcast that early in the game, I liked the easy throws. They ran a stick route. A nice easy throw, get him in a rhythm early. I think it's very important for him to. I don't know if it's the end all. Like, just because you call a pass play 9 out of 12 times doesn't mean your quarterback's going to play well or you're gonna win. There's so many more things that go into it.
I get it. But you watched him over the course of his career, and you see how his confidence grows when he gets a couple early completions in a game. And it's easier to get completions on first down when you're throwing than it is on third and
long. Yeah, I hear that. And I have a hard time just signing off completely on that because I saw him getting a great rhythm in the third quarter in San Diego, the game we were just talking about. And in the fourth quarter, throw two picks, and it should have been a third pick for a pick six, and was all out of sorts.
Correct. And he does that. I'm not going to sit here and say that. He does that. When he goes bad in a hurry.
So what's your point?
So try and avoid him but going bad.
Wait a second. You got to make up your mind. Now we're saying let's avoid him going bad. So does that
mean you avoid him going bad by putting him – don't put him in obvious passing situations all the time. If he's in third and long all the time, quarterbacks don't succeed in third and long all the time.
For the record, I'm not sure those interceptions were in third and long situations. I think the last one was.
I'm not sure they were either, but.
So again, what's your point?
I'm going to go look, and I'll tell you.
Well, the one in Arizona was third and six. That's not third and long.
That's third and long.
Third and six is not third and long. First of all, if you can't – so stay out of all third and six. So what do you want, Pete? To be in third
is
and third three and
six,
less,
Tony, no. Is third and six winning in the NFL?
If you're in third and six, you should.
You're not winning.
You should execute at about 45 to 50% on third and six. You can't be afraid that your quarterback's going to throw an interception every time you're in third and six.
No, you can't be afraid to throw an interception.
Third and six isn't winning.
Third and six isn't winning.
Pete, you changed the argument as we go.
No, I didn't. I changed. I'm standing by my argument. You're getting frustrated because you know I'm right.
Yeah, because you're an idiot. That's
always.
Why I'm frustrated.
I got
a fat idiot next to me, and I got a short fat idiot on the phone.
Really?
And you know what? You're getting so irritated right now. I wasn't going to do this to you.
And neither
but
do you have
last
any hair.
That last ad that you just did, you said Stanwich instead of sandwich.
Great. I don't care, Pete. Guess what? They like them and the check cashed. So you can say whatever you like. And I do enjoy the boss sandwich. So I don't really care if you don't like my dictation of how I say sandwich.
Did we get him to snap?
I don't care. That's fantastic. I mean, golly, you changed the argument.
JP, you know what?
That idiot boy over here doesn't even know good questions to ask when we're doing a show.
Hey, JP, you know what I noticed today?
I got Hollywood back there doing nothing. He hasn't got any food yet. It's unbelievable.
He snapped like you snapped in week one.
Can't even walk.
He's on
right,
a roll.
Tony, you just snapped like you got JP to snap in week one.
That's right.
No, because he was hurt. He had hurt feelings. He was tearing up.
Your feelings are kind of hurt right now.
No, my feelings are hurt. I'm just frustrated. I got a bunch of morons I'm working with.
See? Oh, my God.
Wow. JP needed Kleenex because he was tearing up because he thought his career was over.
Let's come back. Let's let Tony think about this a while.
Oh, Pete, my God.
We got him tonight, JP. I knew I'd get him tonight.
It was easy. Check out Jack Hannity's Audi Jacksonville on Blanding. You can lease a beautiful new A3 for just $229 a month. Head over today for details. You were off and running. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
I've had enough discussions with the PR people here, so I knew it was coming. You know, but at the end of the day, you know, I mean, I care less about it right now. You know, I mean, you know, down the road it'd be great, but I'm just happy we got the win. You know, and going forward, you know, just trying to do what we can to give ourselves a chance. You know, a lot of tough football ahead of us, so just want to stay focused on the task ahead.
Calais Campbell now holds the single season sack record for the Jaguars, 12 and a half and counting. Passed Tony Brackens yesterday, 1999. He had 12 sacks. Jaguars Monday continues. JP Shadrick, Tony Buscelli, Pete Prisco. Hey, Pete, during the break, did you remember last when he was getting hot there, he said dictation?
I said diction.
No, you needed to say diction.
I did say diction.
You said dictation.
No,
and there's a big difference in the meaning of the two words.
Great. Congratulations.
We can roll back and wind the tape if you. I don't
you
know if you
want to roll the tape back. Listen, you want me to roll the
I'm
tape back?
I'm just saying, there's a different definition for those two.
Are you going to roll the tape back on JP's life? Is that what you just said?
And how disappointing that would be. I mean, we can do that as well.
You know what? This is almost like we're like Mike McCrary, and we're getting under his skin. He's going to start throwing elbows in our face.
You don't want me to do what I did to him.
Oh, wow.
Whoa.
Hey, oh my. Tony, right, I look
Mike,
back at
Mike McCrary, one of the best. Unknown pass rushers of the 90s.
Exactly.
2000.
I agree with you. I agree with you 100%. One of the most underrated.
As good as anyone who rushed the passer during that era.
Yep.
Who finishes
and,
with more?
You could ask.
Sorry, Pete.
You could ask people who his name is, and they would have no idea.
Go ask any left tackle who had to play against them, and we all know what his name was.
Tony, I went back and looked. The two interceptions against the Chargers, one came on 2nd and 4, and the other one came on 3rd and 25.
The 3rd and 25, though, Pete, if you look at the context of the play, it was the end of the game. They needed a field goal to tie it up. They got
right.
a sack or in a penalty or something.
No, they had tonic penalty.
That's
on
right, tonic. All they had to do is get him back into field goal range, which was a 7-yard
right.
pass, and it
right.
was a bad decision. He tried to throw it way down
right.
the field when they had the underneath route. So.
I agree.
That's not your typical 3rd and forever.
Correct.
And 2nd and 4 is not, and 3rd and 6 isn't 3rd and long either, by the way.
It's 3rd and 6 is not a good down.
3rd and 6 is 3rd and manageable, Pete.
Well, that means you got 2 yards on your first two plays. That
I'm not saying you
offense.
Won on 1st or 2nd down if you're in 3rd and 6. You might have won on 1st down, got 4 yards rushing, and then an incomplete pass on 2nd down. That happens. 3rd and 6 is a down and distance that you can live with as an offense. It's a 3rd and manageable situation. Go ask any offensive coordinator in the world. See, when he's silent, he knows he's
No,
deep.
I'm looking up something. I'm looking at the percentages on 3rd down, on 3rd and 6 and more.
Fine. No, not 3rd and 6 and more.
3rd and 6.
Thank you.
7 plus, right?
No, it's not 7 plus.
No,
no,
six.
Six between, yeah, 6.
Right? Oh, I'll find it. It's going to take me a little time, but I'll find it. Look, the bottom line is, that's not a good down, Tony. 3rd and 6. If it were a good down, then people would be happy
Pete,
getting 2 yards per carry.
Listen, I don't know where you want to go with this argument. If you're saying that every team in the league is worried about their quarterback throwing an interception on 3rd and 6, and because of that,
that's not what I'm saying.
Under your idiotic reasoning, if you throw on 1st down and it's incomplete, Pete, guess what? You're at 2nd and 10. So if you get 4 yards on 2nd down. Running the ball, that's a win on 2nd down. You're not going to – just because you throw it on 1st down doesn't mean it's 100% completion percentage. Otherwise, everyone would do it. So I don't know what your argument is. I don't even know what you're saying at this point because you're just making up stuff.
I'm not
hearing yourself talk. So shut up and tell us the 3rd and 6
percentage. I'm not making up stuff. He's a better quarterback when he throws on 1st down.
What does that have to do with 3rd and 6?
Well, I'm getting you 3rd and 6.
No, what do the two have to do with each other? You're losing me and everyone listening right now.
I've been lost for years.
Thank you.
Years,
I'm lost.
Years.
Well, that's for different reasons.
Yeah.
Is 3rd and 6 an obvious passing situation?
Yeah.
In the National Football League?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay.
Unless you get certain lurks.
There you go.
Certain looks, you'll check into runs. But, yes, for the most part, yes. Rarely are you going to run. You might get a draw screen. Inside run, if they give you some goofy look, overload, blitz look, you can check too. But for the most part, yes, you're throwing the ball.
Okay. It's a throwing down then.
What's your point, Pete?
So keep, it's an obvious passing down.
So you're saying if you keep
– Throwing on 1st and 10 isn't an obvious passing down. Throwing on 3rd and 6 is an obvious passing down. That's what I'm saying.
So you can't – don't be an obvious passing down ever. Never. Because if that happens, you are done.
But try to avoid as many as you can.
Don't you think they do that, Pete?
Well, if you go run, yeah. Try to screen on 3rd down, you don't.
Really? Not if you're averaging 4 yards a carry. Then by technically it'll be 3rd and 2. Is that an okay down for you? Or should
since
we just stay out of, or should
playing,
we stay or should
since
we stay out of 3rd down all the
6-2
time?
Stack, since teams have played the 6-2 stack monster against them, have they averaged 4 yards per carry?
They were not. They didn't have the 6-2 stack monster on Sunday, Pete.
Some teams have run the 6-4 stack monster.
One team
Ask
did.
The Rams.
One team
right,
did.
Yeah.
One. That's one team.
Hey, the Bengals loaded up against them pretty much too, didn't they?
They did.
All right. Hey, who's going to have?
I'm already tired of this.
Who's going to have more sacks at the end of the year, Ngakoue or Campbell? Ngakoue has 10. Campbell has 12.5.
Oh, then I would say Campbell.
Ngakoue's
that one up? Yesterday, that was a gimme.
Yeah, like three guys missed him.
Yeah, that wasn't his.
Well, it is.
Then again, he's gotten a lot.
That's how
everybody,
sacks work.
Some other people. Yeah, there's also a lot of sacks that he forced that weren't given to him. So it all evens out. Who do you think is going to have more sacks?
Ngakoue's going to have more like true chances from the outside, right?
I'll say this. Calais Campbell's been a hell of a player. He's been a hell of a player. He ain't a better pass rusher than the guy he passed.
That's right. Oh, the Brackens? Yeah.
No, he's not.
We have someone tweeted a recommendation for the name of the show.
What's that, Tony?
This is not me.
I'm sitting here looking at it. I know.
Tony and the bald fat idiots.
I'm not going to deny I'm bald. I'm not that
no,
fat.
No.
I'm not that fat either.
No, I'm just bald. No.
Wait a second.
I've been fatter.
You want me to share the conversation we had the other day?
No, it was a private conversation.
Okay.
I won't need that.
No, JP, you got to admit, during the season, you get fatter.
It is what it is. Right. That's what happens.
It's fat ball season.
I've had a bad foot.
So then after season,
run,
you get shape. We all don't have the luxury of going to Dr. DPSACCO and eating 400 calories a day.
Is this true? Someone else tweeted me saying 39% of Bortles' pass yards and 58% of his pass TDs have come from against three different teams. Three games, sorry. The Ravens game in London and two Colts games. That can't be right.
Let's come back and think about that. We'll get into the special teams, too. Another fake. Joe D. tricking it up. Getting it done on the opening drive yesterday. Joe D. Camillo's special teams coordinator. The Jags
you
come
notice,
back.
You know it's quiet. Pete was. He never gave us the third down percentage.
I know.
I'm looking for it. It takes time, Tony.
That's when we know that we got him.
No, I'm looking for it. If I'm wrong, I'll say I'm wrong, but I think I'm right.
Are we a team again?
No, me.
I think so. Okay, yeah. Jaguars are back this Sunday to host the Seattle Seahawks, and the playoff push is here. Visit jaguars.com/tickets or call 633-2000. Your call's coming up. Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Well, you try not to think about it, honestly. You just go out there and just do what you've been taught to do. And it incentivized me to have a quick release, so to just do my step and get it out quick because they were coming. And, we just schemed it up well. And James is exactly where he should be, and it just worked out perfect.
Brad Nortman, 1-for-1 passing yesterday. Wait a minute. Oh, didn't he have the extra point?
Doesn't count.
That's right. He got hammered on that one, by the way, but he made a nice pass and a fake punt on the opening drive. Jaguars Monday, JP Shadrick, Tony Buscelli, and Pete Prisco. Your call's coming up.
I can't find the percentages in the NFL for the third down and six.
Pete, we've moved on, so can you.
Well, I did find out Blake Bortles is on third and three to seven. What do you think his yards per attempt is on that down?
Hopefully eight.
4.7. Hey, Tony, how about 4.79?
Yeah, that's not good.
That's pretty pedestrian.
Three fake punts successful for the Jags this year.
Hey, maybe that one they ran in the preseason paid off after all.
Yeah, no, we were all freaking out after that. Hey, why are you showing your fake punt in the preseason?
No, who was freaking out?
Oh, we were on the
show. No one was freaking out. You might have been freaking out.
They ran one in the preseason, and they ran one in a blowout. That's so right. I didn't like either one of them. But
no, you like these, Pete? You like this one, Pete?
Is this one
okay with you?
Hey, look, Joe DeCamillis does a nice job with special teams.
He's one of the best special teams coordinators in all football.
He really is. He's fantastic. And they clearly saw that on tape. And, boy, nice call. Nice call.
So I think it means he's okay with it.
Apparently so. How many fakes can a team have, by the way?
Well, you set the fakes up based on what they show you. It's not like Joe has, okay, these
left,
are the fakes.
Right, middle, yeah, okay. Yeah,
you know, let's put all the fakes in camp. You got to see what guys are going to run.
You know what? You guys will love this, but that was early in the game, and as soon as he threw it, of course, everybody yells out the cat calls in the green room. He's the best passer on the team.
was that you, right? Pete?
No, that wasn't me.
Oh, okay.
That wasn't me.
I don't know about that.
I just got a text from
Well, get off your phone.
Sorry,
what are
you
doing
right now? Pete will like this one. This is the question is, why in the world does Buscelli get so much airtime? He is the worst analyst on the channel. Smug, entitled spokesperson whose arrogance knows no end.
Wow, that guy nailed it right on the head, didn't he, JP?
That was eloquent, yes.
Well said, my friend.
Accurate.
Well said. Maybe you should stop listening to me so much then.
Wow.
No, we got you to a point tonight where we got you to snap. If it was a game, you would have hit me.
If you've been
personal foul coming.
But you know what? I'm not there. I'm down in Fort Lauderdale, so you would have hit JP just for the sake of it.
It's not worth
it. Some people would call that an improvement for me. Yeah, so there you go. Special teams had a nice day yesterday. So all right, let's touch on the Seahawks team coming in. This is not the full Legion of Boom defense, Pete. But
no, but
they can still
Russell
play
Wilson,
football. Russell's good. Is he going to win the MVP?
He's in the conversation.
Pete came around. Pete came around finally.
Yeah, I did come around. I still think he takes too many 25-yard drops for my liking. But I look, the guy's playing shorthanded with a bad team, bad line. The defense isn't what it used to be. Though the defense played pretty well against Philly. I'm going to give him their due in that game.
They gave up 10 points.
And they can still rush the passer. I mean, Frank Clark is a good player. Michael Bennett is a handful for whoever blocks him. And those young guys inside are getting better. And we know K.J. Wright and Bobby Wagner might be the defensive player of the year. That's how well he's playing. So, yeah, it's not the same team, but it's a handful now.
Yeah, they can't cover on the back end like they did with Sherman in there, but they're still good. I did not watch the game last night. I was exhausted for the first time. I've been getting about 4 hours of sleep for about a week.
Really? Tell us more, please. Why?
So I went to bed.
Why is that,
I'm not
going
to watch.
No, you should.
No.
We can help you.
So I went to bed at
9:15
last night. It was nice. It's great. So I didn't watch it, knowing I'd be watching it this week on the All-22. But it sounds like, Pete, Seattle just got after Philly and just dominated from the start.
Well, Philly was driving in to tie the game, and Wentz fumbled on the going into the end zone. And it went back out of the end zone and for
that was
touchback.
It was a weird play, yeah.
But yeah,
the reason I brought this up, I've seen Seattle a number of times this year already, did one of their games. One thing that – and I love Russell Wilson. I think he's a fabulous player. But if you watch Russell Wilson, he does very few things on time from the pocket.
No, very little.
In fact, Pete Carroll came out a couple weeks ago, even said something about it, like they'd like him to hang in there a little bit longer because they were getting a high volume of holding penalties. And they said a lot of it was because the offensive line would be in good position, the tackles, and then he would try to escape outside. They wouldn't know. And they get caught holding on a little bit.
Yeah, he leaves clean pockets. No question, he leaves clean
all
pockets.
All the time. Like I started watching him.
But fairness to him, he's taking a lot of shots.
Last night he took was a lick.
That was a brutal
shot. But Pete, if you watch it, sometimes it's self-induced.
Oh no, I get it, Tony. I'm with you on that one. By the way, I preach that to these guys here all the time, and they think I'm just picking on them.
No, I love Russell Wilson. I mean, but you go watch him, and he. There are times that he will not go through his progression. If the first guy is not there, he is gone. And now, instead of running, what he does is he runs around like Fran Tarkington. And
then throws a
– Or
the receiver gets off plaster. He gets out of the – you know,
Fran
that's like plaster.
That's how I say, if you don't like how I say
– You said Tarkington.
No, I
that's
didn't.
Not his name. Tarkington.
No, he said Tarkington.
I did not.
He got it right.
I mean, JP, seriously, you're an ass at this point. Because it has nothing to – because I will start correcting every time you say something stupid, which will ruin
that.
The entire show. Because it's constant, not just misspeaking words, but like stupid comments and stupid takes and stupid opinions. But I don't. So if you'd like that, we can start going tit for tat
well
all the idiotic things.
Wow.
But it'll ruin the show because you say a lot of dumb things. Anyways, but he'll run around, and that's where you put so much stress on that secondary, Pete.
Right, this week is the. Is
oh,
the
it'll
important.
Be interesting. I'm so interested to see because this isn't the best receiving crew that they're going to face by any means, but it might be the most stress they're going to face because of how much time Russell Wilson will start, you know, forcing you to cover guys down the field.
Hmm. And let me ask you this: how do you defend them if you're play like there was a Tony? There was a play he hit a huge play. To Baldwin in zero coverage, they blitzed him, which I didn't get. They just it was an easy, you know, one-on-one route, just lofted it up, threw it into the blitz, and because he'll stand in there and take the shot. But I don't know. I don't think you play him that way. I don't think you have to attack him like that.
I think what I would do is I would try to keep him in the pocket. I mean, I would and I
rush him.
Well, I've always hated that term, Pete, because then you take away the aggressiveness of your pass rushers. But I think I tell him, I said, guys, listen, we're going to work up the field, but once you get to a certain level, you can't be running around him, and you got to start pressing the pocket. So do your pass rush, but if you don't win immediately, you got to start trying to close in and see if you can keep him in that pocket and push the pocket from the inside, Pete, with the big people. I think that's what I would do.
I don't think the spy works, by the way. People love to say, they point out, oh, look at the spy, look at the spy. The spy doesn't work. I think the spy would be better off doing something else, either blitzing or dropping into coverage, because he's so elusive when he gets outside. And he, like you said, he keeps his head up. And so by the time the spy gets to him to make a play, the ball's out of his hands. I wouldn't spy him.
I wouldn't either. I'd try to keep him in the pocket at all.
Do you play zone behind them or do you play man behind them?
I don't know. Just play what you've been playing. No one can get open against the secondary.
They run those switch routes where they pick. So I mean, they're the ultimate. They're one of the ultimate pick teams in the league. They run those you know, outside guys picking off, and he comes around from the inside. So if you play man, tough. You know who did a good job on them last year? You might want to watch the tape if you get a chance, Tony. Smitty did a good job on them in when Tampa played them last year.
Okay, we have to go to break, so I'm not going to respond. JP's getting very nervous here. We're going long.
He's up against the break. He's getting nervous. He's shaking his paper. I see it.
He is.
That's a signal, Pete.
I'm going to stop talking.
PRI Productions.
Just tell me to shut up.
The official.
Shut up.
I would never do such a thing, Pete.
I will.
I'm a nice man. And not to Tony, though. PRI Productions, the official event production company of the Jags, has everything you need to bring your next idea to life. Visit PRIProductions.com. Second hour coming up, Pro Football Focus grades, the Tony Boselli Twitter question of the night. They're flying in tonight. And your calls, 355-NFL1. The phone lines are open. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
I think a big part of that is the culture the Ducks kind of created here. Kind of that with some of the guys we brought in, you know, Calais and some of these guys that have been outspoken leaders. I think that kind of gives us the ability to, you know, you don't have the mindset of here we go again or, you know, any of that. It's kind of that wasn't who we are. That's not how we play football. Let's forget about it, make the corrections, move on and get back to doing what we do best.
Blake Bortles discussing the bounce back ability of this Jags football team after losses this year. They did it again yesterday, 30-10, the final, a win over the Indianapolis Colts. Jaguars Monday rolls along into the second hour now. JP Chadrick, Tony Boselli, and Pete Prisco, your calls, 355-NFL1. Phone lines are open. The Tony Boselli Twitter question of the night. Tony is out to the masses tonight to get a good question. And, Pete, I know you'll have the pro football focus grades from this football game yesterday. If you have them, we're ready for them.
Oh, I have them. Do you think Tony's going to get irritated today? Oh, I don't think he will. I think he's going
to
be.
He's already irritated. It's hard to re-irritate him more. You know what I mean? I don't know.
Okay. Who is the highest-rated offensive player Sunday, Tony?
I mean, Blake or Marquise, one of the two.
You got number one and you got number two. Very nice job. Blake, way, way up. 4.1, highest grade on offense. Marquise Lee, 1.7. Two other guys were in the green. Who were they? One of them doesn't count. They gave O'Shaughnessy a good grade. Must be for
two other in the green?
So one other.
That's it? There are only three players in offense?
Yeah. Well, okay. I'm sorry. Two others beside O'Shaughnessy.
I bet DD.
Nope. The other receiver.
Yeah, I was like Keelan Cole.
Yeah. Three catches on three targets.
And,
yeah.
And one offensive lineman.
I think it's Linder.
Correct. Who were the biggest negative grades on the offense?
Fournette.
No. He got a negative, but not the biggest. Chris Reed.
I was going to say either Reed or Cam's probably up there too a little bit.
Yeah, those are the two big negatives on the offensive line. Chris Reed got a horrible grade in run blocking. Would you agree with that?
They weren't good on the backside, especially. Yeah, he didn't have a great game.
And Can got a solid grade in run blocking, but a bad grade in pass protection.
Yeah, I don't know if I agree with that.
And Parnell was solid. It just said nothing great, nothing awful.
Parnell gave up a sack. Parnell was, he played fine. He was not as good as, he didn't play as well as he did before he got hurt. He was playing really well earlier in the year.
Going back to what
Mercedes was probably a red.
Mercedes was
pass catching
not
green,
a red.
Pass catching green, not, run blocking red.
Pass blocking above, run blocking right at the even spot.
See, I would have said negative on run
Bohannon
blocking.
Bohannon had a bad day according to them.
He's
run
fine.
Blocking.
He was fine.
Run blocking.
I thought Koyak should have got a negative.
did.
I would have said I would have said Mercedes negative in the run and positive as a pass catcher.
Dede Westbrook got a negative. I don't get that one.
Yeah, I don't know why. Doesn't make any sense to me. Right. He had one drop. He had one drop.
Let's go to the defense.
Okay.
Highest ranked defensive player.
I thought Gibson was outstanding.
He's the second highest ranked, but he's close.
Jalen was really good.
He's the third highest.
Mm. Puz had a nice game.
Leslie.
He's barely above the he had great. They gave a great grade in pass coverage and a bad grade in run defense.
I would disagree with that.
Okay.
Well, you know what? That's not fair. I didn't watch the tape, so I'm not going to say I disagree with that.
The highest rated defensive player we talked about earlier.
Calais Campbell.
Malik.
Malik Jackson. Oh, yeah, yeah. Malik was outstanding. Outstanding.
They gave a Tony, they gave him a 3.8 for, like you mentioned, this interior pass rush. They gave him good. The highest rated pass rush.
Yeah, he created all
and
kinds
then he
of
gave
havoc.
A 4.4. The other guy, Marcell Dareus, was in the green.
I'm not going to get into specifics defensively. I didn't watch the tape, Pete.
And Gibson. And Fowler was in a big red. Did he have a bad day? It was, I didn't tell
I don't
from
know.
The TV. He didn't do much, though, did
no,
he?
No, he did not stand out. He got the personal foul.
That's a couple weeks in a row for him where he's kind of been.
He got the personal foul. It's the one thing that stands out. That's it.
And Colvin, they said, had a bad day.
Based on what?
I don't know. They gave him a bad grade in pass coverage.
Didn't he have a holding or something down the field at one point?
Hey, JP, Tony, who was responsible for the T.Y. Hilton play? I couldn't tell by the tape. It looked like...
You know, it looked like everyone was playing man.
Jalen let him go, right?
Jalen was playing zone, and then it looked like the other guys were playing man. There was some kind of confusion on the coverage because they just let it, you know.
They stopped, right?
Well,
he stopped, Jake.
He looked like he thought he was a third play, third of the field player, that he had it was three high. And if that's the case, I guess Barry Church is supposed to pick him up, but Barry Church was nowhere to be found, and then he reacted late, and when he did, he didn't have the speed to keep up. So I'm not sure what.
Yeah, he looked like he was playing a different defense than what Jalen was playing.
No, they weren't on the same page. And so what it was, I didn't talk to any of the coaches, and I'm not sure.
I could see from the TV, it looked like Jalen thought he had help or letting him go.
Or yeah, Jalen thought he was in zone for sure.
Right. Yeah, because if he was a man, he would have carried him all the way across.
He would have carried him across. So somewhere there was confusion. But that was really the only – I mean, they got some yardage late when the defense was soft, just keeping everything in front of them. But there was nothing – they were never threatened. I mean, we talked about it. Never threatened once on defense, I didn't think. There was never a moment. Yeah, there's always moments in games you're like, oh, man. Like even in Arizona, you're like, okay, you know – Blaine's playing well. They're getting some stuff going. But there was never the thought.
Well, into the first half, they had moved the ball until the interception.
Never thought.
Right? No?
There was never a moment where I'm like, oh, no, they can get something going.
They gave A.J. Boye a bad grade in pass coverage.
Nothing stood out. They went after him a little bit early, I guess, with Dante Moncrief on some comeback routes.
Yeah. Not awful, though.
No.
They gave it.
Pete, we've established these people don't know what they're talking about. So how many weeks?
Don't
do
you think
have to
it's
do
funny that he has more Pro Bowl votes than Jalen Ramsey does? It's kind of weird.
Well, if you look at a lot of the metrics, he has a lower passer rating on balls thrown to his side, or at least he did, or completion percentage. At least he did a couple weeks ago. I don't know if it's changed.
Which one do you think's played better?
I think it's a coin flip.
Ooh,
I think Jalen's a better player. But they've both played outstanding.
Yeah, they're both good. They both probably should be in the Pro Bowl.
Tell me, who in the AFC would you put ahead of them right now?
I'm trying to I'll think for a second. But you're right. They both should be in the Pro Bowl.
I don't know who else I'd put them ahead of them. Tlaib isn't – I mean, well, the Denver defense
has
been
Harris,
awful.
Chris Harris hasn't had the year he's supposed to have.
So the Denver defense has been
bad. Casey Hayward of the Chargers has played really well.
So, okay, maybe your three corners are those three guys. Casey Hayward has been very good.
Really good.
I'm trying to think who else on that side, on the AFC.
No, the Steelers guys. Hayden was playing good, but he got hurt. The guys in – Gilmore's played good since he's been back for New England.
Are you have a problem with me drinking now?
You're like rattling your ice on the microphone. What are you doing?
It's okay. It's part of the show.
You know, Tony, they've actually been two of the better corners in the league. But there's no way, and you've been around that market forever too, there's no way they are getting two corners in the Pro
Bowl. Well, if you look at look at the interception numbers. Jalen has three now, and I think AJ has four. Is that correct, JP?
Say it again. I'm sorry.
Jalen has three interceptions now. And
that's correct.
AJ has four.
Stand by.
I think that's the numbers. They have two of the best completions.
Yeah, Boye 4, Ramsey 3.
Okay, so they're going to have interceptions. They have two of the lowest completion percentages against them of quarterbacks.
They're both in like the top 8 in pass defenses this year.
Weren't they 1-2 as far as opposing quarterbacks' completions percentage?
At one point, yes. I don't know if they still are.
I think they're still right there. Yeah. I mean, you look at the numbers, Pete. How do you not make them the two Pro Bowl corners?
Yeah, and Hayward's the other one. He has to be. I looked at Pro Football Focus's ratings on them, and granted, they're their ratings. They got Hayward 1. Patrick Robinson of Philadelphia 2, Jalen Ramsey 3, and Boye 4. So they're two of the top four corners in the league.
Patrick Robinson's in the NFC, I believe.
Correct, he is. I mean, the other guy you could make a case for is White from Buffalo, who's had a really good year for them. But that's about it. They both should get in. I would be astounded if they don't get in. So how many guys get in? I mean, you're going to get Campbell's going to get in. Telvin Smith doesn't get in. It's a shame.
There's a handful of guys that'll get in, right? At this pace.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's it, huh?
Yeah. Well, if Ngakoue keeps on going the sack numbers, Pete,
right.
If he gets 14, 15 sacks, he's going to get in.
Yeah. You remember the voting is what, like?
Next week.
So
if he has two big weeks and he's got.
I'll tell you what. If Ngakoue has a big day against Seattle this week and on the primetime in the game that most people are going to see, then he'll get in.
It'll get us to the Tony Boselli Twitter question of the night. The question this evening is from @TreyMike. What's the best duo on the defense? Campbell and Ngakoue, Smith and Jack, Ramsey and Boye, or Church and Gibson?
Like the question.
Great question. I would go.
I know where I'm going.
I'm going Ramsey and Boye. I mean, just what we just talked about.
Yeah.
Second would be Calais Campbell and Ngakoue. You could argue it's them. I think they're, as far as pass rush duos, number one in the NFL as combined sacks. So it's hard to argue those two. But I just think Ramsey and Boye have been outstanding this year. I'm taking nothing away from Campbell and Ngakoue, but I slightly give the edge to the corners because I think of as dominant as that pass rush has been, I also think some of those are, you know, just like the one Calais got yesterday. He even said it. It's coverage sack. Secondary's covering people up. So that's where I'd go. How about you, Pete?
I would go to corners. Normally, in a normal situation, like if it was, you know, Von Miller and DeMarcus Ware against the Denver corners, I'd probably take Von Miller and DeMarcus Ware when they won the Super Bowl, right? I mean, I would. But not in this case. I would take the corners. I think the corners are the best duo. And if I ranked them, it would be corners 1, pass rushers 2, linebackers 3, safeties 4. You agree?
Yes. And it's tight, though, all the way around because I hate to take away anything from the safeties. They played really good football. We talked about Tashaun Gibson, how great he's been this year.
Tony, what about the tweet that we just got, by the way? JP.
What'd you get?
I really hope no Hall of Fame voters listen to this show, especially if they take character into account. These unmitigated outbursts of hatred and anger by Tony.
Yeah. Wow.
I didn't get that.
You know what I said? I said, come on, dude. We're having fun. Seriously. I mean, and I really want to say this to people out there. When we kid around with each other, we're kidding around with each other. There's no anger at all. Other than the first week.
Except week
JP
1
crying.
When I got bad, yeah.
Yeah, no, seriously.
No, this is the best way to explain it. And maybe the guy who tweeted that doesn't have any guy friends. But, you know, you hang out with your guy friends and you debate a topic. Like college football, you fight about who should get in. And you can start yelling at each other and calling each other names. And then 5 minutes later, you're laughing about something else. I mean, that's
right.
I mean, I love Pete, love JP. I don't like Joe. But besides that, I mean, Hollywood's on the fence right now because he didn't get any food tonight. This is a sports debate where we get animated and have fun and argue and make fun of each other. I mean, my goodness.
Right.
Can't figure that out, then go listen to something else.
If you have a thin skin, you need not apply. That's what I
That's
like
right.
to say.
I always said it, Pete. You saw it firsthand. I don't know. JP probably hasn't been in a locker room after Pee Wee football, so.
First off, I didn't play Pee Wee football.
Sorry.
Okay. Second, it's been like church league basketball or whatever.
But JP,
go ahead.
No, but JP, you know this too because you're in the locker room during. You've been in a bunch of locker rooms, baseball and football.
Yeah.
And it's one of the things I miss about the locker room and loved about the locker room. If you have thin skin, you shouldn't be in there because there's nothing sacred in the things you joke about and make fun of each other about. I mean, my goodness. I mean, it is. I loved it. I loved getting made fun of, and I like making fun of people.
Can we do that here?
That's why when, you know, Pete and JP make fun of words I say or misspeak or anything else like that.
And you call me baldy and fatty and everything else. It's all fun.
You call me ducks tonight. I'm okay with that.
Hey,
well, that's true.
Tony,
that's actually accurate.
Talk about the locker room or whatever, and we do it on this show. You should see our green room on Sunday.
Oh, it's the best.
It's like nonstop. I mean, like I tell John Beeson that he says, oh, I'm old. And I said, well, you're like three times as old as you really are because you played in the NFL. But NFL years, you're 90-something.
That's true.
You know,
that's actually accurate.
I mean, it's nonstop.
So if people can't – I mean, if you want to assail my character because of that, that's fine. You have that right.
That's ridiculous.
Good use of the word assail.
You like that?
I will sit here and say, Tony is like me. We play the villain, and we are the villain at times on the radio, but by no means is he anything like that. So don't let him fool you.
And you know what? I'm disappointed that chicken. He didn't include me in the tweet. Why didn't he tweet me if he felt that way?
Because you hurt his feelings like you hurt JP's feelings.
You probably blocked him.
I'll give him a tissue.
Check out Jack Hanania's Audi Jacksonville Unblanding. You can lease a beautiful new A3 from just $229 a month. Head over today for details. Your calls when we come back. 355-NFL-1. We got to get Tony angry again. He's nice, Tony.
Here's a great question from a loyal listener of the show, Mr. Ryer. Are you jealous that Loggeman does all the TV shows and they only put you on the radio?
Food for thought.
Oh, dang. I know him, man. I know him. He's got some good lines.
Well said.
Food for thought. We'll come back with more. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Doing well. He's getting a lot of playing time, so I think all that stuff's important. I think that, you know, he's getting out there, he's playing, he's getting a feel for what it's like. You know, I think, you know, everyone has a perception of what it's going to be like once you start playing in the NFL. And I think that through that experience that you now have the ability to get better each week. You know, and it's like I say, whether it doesn't matter what year you're in, you know, you're either getting better or worse. You know, there's no such thing as you're staying the same in this league as a player. So, you know, he's making strides and he's doing a good job. And you know, we're excited because, you know, obviously we've had injuries at that position. He's come back from injury, you know, which is a credit to him where he didn't have a lot of practice time. So, you know, it's being thrown out there in the fire, and he's responding well.
That's head coach Doug Marrone on a conference call this afternoon discussing D.D. Westbrook.
I was wondering who he was talking about.
Well, I was going to tell you. D.D. Westbrook.
That's why I said I was wondering. It wasn't critical.
He's not to 200 yards yet over three games.
Is he for 200 yards for the year?
No, he's not yet. Three games. That's okay, though.
He said one game.
He'll get there.
He said he was an average.
He'll get there.
But he's going to be a good receiver.
Yeah, I think you're right, Pete. I would agree with you.
By the way,
Marquise Lee had a nice day, too.
He did have a nice day.
He did.
He caught the
How
ball
about
well.
That catch? How about that one-handed catch he made? Unreal.
You know, there was a throw. Who caught the long ball on the sideline that Blake dropped in between?
Keelan Cole.
That was as good a throw as I've seen Blake Bortles make in his career.
Maybe the best one I've ever seen.
It was fantastic. And it was actually a spiral.
He was spinning it, Pete. He spun it all day, I'm telling you. I watched the tape, and the thing that jumped off, I'm like, my goodness, he's throwing tight spirals everywhere.
You know why?
Why? Because he threw him first down?
First down.
Yeah,
that's what it is. Yeah, that's you know, more comfortable that way, allegedly.
Now, he looked like a different dude yesterday.
But he looked like this back when we played the Colts last time, too.
Yeah, but I even think he was better this time around, don't you?
Well, he threw it a lot more.
But the way he threw it and how he threw it and the way it looked. Like, I'm telling you, that throw to Cole, you looked at it and you went, you know what? That's big boy throw right there. I mean, that's the real deal. You know, that's one of the hardest throws to fit that in there. You know that.
If he plays that like this, well, if he plays even close to this level, they will make a run in the playoffs, and they will have a chance to get to New England. I mean, get to Minnesota.
That's you already put him in Minneapolis. I don't know why you're backing off of that.
I'm not backing off of anything. I'm just telling you.
You still think they're going to the Super Bowl?
Do you want me to?
You'll know more. You'll know more Sunday at 7:30,
yeah,
right?
We'll find out. I mean, right now. Right now,
Tony, you already said it twice this year.
I would. I just worry if they get behind. Have they shown the ability to come back yet from a deficit?
No.
San Diego, they were behind and took the lead on that drive.
No, single. How about this? Have they been down two possessions and came back in one?
No.
No. But they're also, what, one of five? They've had five double-digit wins this year, and I think that ties the Eagles.
No, they're playing good. I'm not taking anything away from them at all. I mean, so if I want, I can – listen, there's no more pro-Jaguar, but I could take the other side of it. You know, it's one of the easiest schedules in the league. I mean, you can go through the list of how many teams have they beaten with a winning record. I mean, all the different metrics you can look at. The bottom line is this. They're 8-4. They're in a great position, and they have one of the best defenses in football. And if they get production out of the offense, I said it a second ago, I think they're almost impossible to beat. If they score 20 points, don't turn it over and don't give up a special team score.
You know what would be the best thing if they made a Super Bowl run? You get four more weeks of us.
Ah, true. That's a great point.
It's well said.
Are you still down there or would you be here, Pete?
I would be here still, playoffs. But You know what? We could have a table set up at the Super Bowl. We could do a live show at the Super Bowl.
Yes, Radio Row. Jaguars Monday.
The same week. Tony goes in.
Hall of Famer Tony Boselli. Yes.
I'm all for all of that. All the together, I'm fine.
That'd be pretty cool. Oh, by the way, PR guru Tad Dickman just sent a message to us. As of last week, Boye and Ramsey were 1-2 in Pro Bowl voting across the league at corner. So there you go.
They're going to get in.
Are we taking calls tonight?
Yeah.
We take calls, I got a quick question for you, Pete. And you can answer. You can think about it and answer it after the calls. You can answer it immediately. Give me four teams in the AFC that concern you, as far as the matchup with the Jaguars.
Mm.
Chargers.
Okay.
Patriots.
Okay.
Steelers. Still, even though they dominate.
Well, they're playing so much. Ben's playing
different,
so much better now.
Different team.
He's right. A different team.
And that'll just about do it.
Three.
Because I think Tennessee is winning barely. They're not playing good football.
Agree.
I think Kansas City is dreadful. Dreadful.
Are they dreadful? That's defense, though, right?
Defense. It's defense, Tony. The defense is awful.
Could this team take advantage of that defense?
Yes.
I think running the ball is good. Yeah.
Look at how McCown was fantastic against that defense.
I'd agree with you.
Okay.
How do they not rush the passer with D Ford and Justin Houston?
Well, those guys have been hurt.
Oh, are they still hurt?
They've been hurt. D Ford's been hurt. Justin Houston played a couple plays. I haven't watched the tape yet, but a couple plays I glanced up and he was dropping in the coverage.
That's not smart.
No, they're overthinking it. They're not good on defense.
So just three teams.
Yeah, Oakland's not good. Who else?
Ravens?
You know,
no
if
Ravens,
Cincinnati,
right?
Baltimore would be the, I think right now Baltimore, Joe Flacco played good.
Will you pay attention, Pete? I don't know who's bothering you there, but pay attention. We're doing a show here.
I'm paying attention. Shut up. Joe Flacco would be, if he played like he did yesterday, they will be dangerous.
Yeah, I think
they're good on defense.
They fell apart when we played them. Holy cow.
The only thing is, they lost Jimmy Smith yesterday for the season.
Torn Achilles.
Yeah.
I think I would only go with the three you mentioned at first.
Isn't it funny how the Chargers are now tied for the division, and they play at Arrowhead, yet everybody thinks they're going to win the division? and if they get in, they would be really dangerous, right? I mean,
well, they got the Redskins this week.
Right? At Arrowhead.
No. The Redskins. They're at Los Angeles.
No, then they go to Arrowhead next week.
But the Chiefs are terrible.
Right. They play the Raiders last week of the year.
They already beat them once.
Yeah, then I forget the other one. But the schedule's favorable.
No good.
They're the best team in that division, right?
Yes, right now. So those are the three teams. I agree. Let's go to the calls. Or do we have no time?
Okay. You ready?
Yeah.
355.
Oh, we got calls.
NFL.
They're angry at you.
Well, yeah, they are tonight.
That's fine.
355 NFL 1. Let's go to Sanford, Florida, and say good evening to Michael. You're on the air. What's up?
Good evening. How are y'all tonight?
Great, man.
Excellent. Pete, I wanted to start by talking to you. I was listening to what you were saying about play calling, and I think you are completely dead on about Orioles need to start throwing on first downs. And in general, you're always right about situational play calling, too, you know?
Thank you.
So
this guy's a smart man.
What's your question? You want to call Pete, I'll give you his phone number, and you guys can have, you know, a love session
give
on
out
the
my phone
about how great each other are.
All right, well, here's my question. Pete, do you remember several weeks back when that guy called in and said that Puz needs to be on the field more and Tony said it was the worst call of the year?
I remember that, yeah.
Vaguely.
Yeah, that was me. And I think that Puz had 10 solo tackles, four assists and a sack and a half yesterday, while Jack had two tackles and two assists.
So
those are accurate stats.
I'm just going to ask a question. I'll ask it again, like I did last time. So you think this team is better with either Miles Jack or Telvin Smith on the bench?
Telvin needs to be on the field.
Hold on, no, let me ask.
Telvin needs to be on the field.
So you think this team's better? You think this team's better with Paul Posluszny and Telvin Smith on the field and Miles Jack on the bench?
Well,
just answer the question. It's simple. Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Again,
no, you're wrong.
You're wrong. Thank you for your call.
You're
have
wrong.
A good night. You and Pete can have your love session on your own time.
Goodbye. You're wrong. He's wrong. He's wrong. Posluszny's been a hell of a player for that team, but they're
great.
Better with
I'm
Telvin
taking
Smith
nothing
and Jack
away from
the
him.
Field. Right.
I mean, I love Paul.
Nice
I'm glad he's on the team.
It's nice to have a guy like that can come off the bench
and
play when he has to.
He's outstanding.
We're off and running on the phone calls. Mike is on the west.
More ways than one.
If you wanted to argue they're better with him at middle linebacker on first and second down, fine. Which, that's why they play him on first and second down there.
Mm-hmm.
But I know for a fact they have to change what they do coverage-wise because of the speed difference when Jack's not on the field. Nothing against Paul. I mean, Jack flies.
It is what it is. Mike on the west side. Good evening, Mike. You're on the air.
Hey, my question for Tony Buscelli, since I feel like he's the more loyal Jag. But my question is, if we beat the Seahawks this Sunday, do you think the Jacksonville Jaguars have a chance to make the AFC Championship game or the Super Bowl? Because I believe the Patriots or the Steelers really does not want to play Jacksonville. That's how I see it.
Well, I don't think anyone wants to play this defense, but if you are telling me that the Patriots are lying awake at night, not wanting to face the Jaguars, I might argue with you a little bit, just knowing that organization and Tom Brady. And my guess is the Steelers, if you were to ask them, they probably want another shot because they feel like they got embarrassed and they're playing much better football now. Now, I like the Jaguars in either matchup, but I don't think either of them are saying, oh my goodness, I hope the Jaguars don't get in because we don't want to play them. I don't think it's that case scenario. I don't think that's the case. Do I think they're going to, if they beat the Seahawks this week, it really gives them, you know, a possibility of being an outside shot at having the
a bye.
Bye. Because I think I actually picked Pittsburgh to lose tonight against Cincinnati.
Yeah, if they lose tonight, they got to play the Patriots
as well.
Play
the Patriots.
Right, sure.
So I think that might happen. If they lose tonight, then they're going to have to win out and beat Tennessee, I think, just because of the tiebreaker. And I don't want to be the wild card because I think the wild card, the fifth seed is going to have to go play
play the Chargers.
He's going to have to go play the Chargers in L.A. And I think that's a tough matchup. For any team, not just the Jaguars. I think for any team.
Yeah, if you're Jacksonville and you end up in the fifth seed, you'd rather go play the Chiefs in the playoffs or the Raiders than go play the
Chargers.
That's
right. Exactly right.
Right now, they would go play the Chiefs. As is, right now, they would play the Chiefs in the 4-5 game, And we could play it out. The Titans and Ravens play in the playoffs right now at Tennessee. Who wins that game?
I think the Ravens do.
Wow.
I do too. So they would be the sixth seed. They would go to New England. Jacksonville would beat the Chiefs, and they would go to Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
That would be the second round game.
I think you're right. And to answer the guy's question, I like our matchup against the Steelers. We already proved it. But this is a much better Steeler team, offensively at least. And I don't think Ben's going to throw five interceptions again. He never did it in his career. I don't think we're going to expect it back-to-back times we play him. Maybe. And the Patriots with Tom Brady. Until someone beats Tom Brady and the AFC and stops him from going to the Super Bowl, he's who I'm picking because he's unbelievable.
And the defense has improved greatly since.
How are they doing it, Pete? I haven't watched. I mean,
Patricia and Bill Belichick are fantastic.
Because they don't have a lot of speed still.
No.
Up front, at least.
It's not like they have a bunch of pass
rushers.
And
they don't have a lot of pass rushers either.
That's my point. They're great coaches. Great coaches.
Hey, let's come back, and we'll get more of your calls when we return. We've also got to go around the National Football League. Big news today out of New York. Experience Everbank Field in an entirely new way on a fully guided, behind-the-scenes private tour. Join us for that tour and see for yourself how the Travel Channel included Everbank Field on its list of bucket list destinations for football fans. Visit Jaguars.com/Everbank Field for more information. Your calls when we return. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
You know, if you don't win in December, nothing good is going to happen. So our guys are a little bit, they're loose. I mean, in a good way. I don't see the outside stuff really getting to them.
Doug Marrone today on the conference call, the day after the Jags win 30-10 over the Indianapolis Colts, asking about players on this team not really playing in big games before, most of them. So first real big game coming up.
Can I ask a question, JP?
Go ahead.
Why are you not a conference call and not at not the podium?
Oh, it was Victory Monday, and I think just to give the writers, they don't have to come all the way down to the stadium.
Yeah,
how things have changed. Yeah, times have changed.
None of the players were here either.
Yeah, nobody was here today. The coaches
were
here.
There?
Yeah,
no,
coaches
I'm saying, here. But yeah. I don't know. Yeah, I think it's ridiculous.
More convenience.
Yeah,
if
one job is a sports writer to cover the NFL,
right.
It's a team, go down there and see them.
Come on, O'Halloran, get out of bed.
Or whatever. I'm not going to.
Come on, Osher, what were you doing?
You know what's funny to me listening? I don't ever remember as a player being tight because it was the December or the end of the year. I mean, you just.
This organization, the guys on this team haven't been in a meaningful December.
Okay,
you know?
I guess what? In 96, I hadn't been in one either.
True.
And you just kind of go play the
– Yeah, because you played at USC. They didn't play meaningful
but
games.
But every
yeah.
every game
– Yeah, I don't know. You guys told me when I did that thing on the 96 team, you said you guys were tight in the Seattle game and you felt
No, Atlanta, you mean.
No, the Seattle, the Monday, remember it was the Sunday night game and you won the game, but everybody, I remember, Tony, I can go get the tape.
Okay, you might be right.
You said,
maybe.
Yeah, all three, you said you were a little tight.
I'm just saying I don't remember. I'm not saying it wasn't the case. I don't remember thinking back saying, oh my gosh, it's December. We got to win. Now, I felt, because, let me put it in this context, Pete. I was nervous for every game I ever played in, whether it was a September, October, November, December playoff game.
But once you got hit in the mouth, then that went out the window.
No,
right?
that's what I'm saying, because it was.
If you're not feeling something, then you know it doesn't mean anything.
Because in the NFL, you only get 16 chances before the playoffs, so it's like this is like a big deal. This was huge. Now, once you get hit, you're playing football.
Yeah.
But going into that moment,
and I obviously I never played in the league or experienced that, but I imagine and back in high school, the first day you went into pads. There was always a little nervousness about the night from the night before, right? To get
yeah,
ready
but
to play,
but I even go this way, like even end of games, like big. All of a sudden, it's a 2-minute drive, and you got to go out there, and it's a big moment. I mean, you better
you go
have
play,
a
right.
You what?
You just go play,
but you go play, but you better have a little bit of like, hey, I mean, it better be important enough where you're feeling a little bit in your gut, like this is a big moment. Let's go.
But not nerves, more of
butterfly,
excitement, anticipation.
Like
but. That's nerves, isn't it? I mean, not that you're scared, but you're like, this is important. Like, I think it makes you play better. Like,
Doesn't the intensity seriously? Okay, Tony, you would know. This is something I could ask you, but everybody always says September intensity different than October intensity, than November, December the intensity goes up, and then the playoffs it's a whole other animal. You buy it?
I thought regular season to playoffs. I don't know if month to month. I can honestly sit here and say that I felt that. But regular season to playoffs for sure.
Yeah, but you guys hit every day in practice and training camp. You know, it's a different animal. You're ready
but
to go.
I guess my point is I think as a player, at least for me, every game there was that anxiety, like good sense, like, hey, this is important. Now you went out and started playing, but then at the end of games, like it's a 2-minute drive, it's like, all right, here we go. Like it's
we're in the game now, let's go.
Well, like like this, we have to score or it's over. Let's go play.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe it's urgency. I don't know what the proper term is, but you felt it. I mean, it was like, it's ramped up. Pete, to your point, I could almost go during games where it's like, last 2 minutes, game's on the line, you better strap it up because here we go. So.
Let's hammer through the final three calls tonight. John in Nashville, Tennessee. John, you're on the air. Good evening.
Hey, guys. This is Logan. Got a question regarding Leonard Fournette. Do you think that there's something more to his ailment other than his ankle? Because he's not, you know, like when they were playing Pittsburgh, you know, he was calling out a safety for a collision course, and he's avoiding the contact now. So do you think he's got like a stinger or something like that?
Thanks for the call from Ogden, Utah, Logan.
Yeah,
Logan,
it's a very good question, very fair question. I don't know. All we're told is the ankle. It's all we know about. You can see him visibly limping at times coming off the field. But I agree with you. Here's a guy who was calling for contact and running over anything that got in his way to running out of bounds, clearly, before contact. And even, I'll go back to that outside zone play. He went backwards. I mean, it wasn't.
Do you
even,
remember when there when wasn't, out, there, when wasn't
even
was?
A, there wasn't even a fight to finish the run?
Do you remember when he went out of bounds? Because I want to. Do you remember what play that was? Like what quarter that was, Tony? Because I want to watch. I want to go back.
It was the fourth quarter, Pete.
Okay. All right.
Fourth quarter. You're probably getting the play.
That could be.
Play.
That's a little understandable if they're winning by a big margin in the fourth quarter and you go out of bounds.
No, you run backwards.
I'm talking about the one you said he went out of bounds with instead of taking the contact.
Oh, but no, that was throughout the whole game. Even catching receptions, he ran out of bounds early.
Yeah, I'm going to have to look at that.
Right, JP, am I wrong?
Yeah, no, you're right.
I mean, someone tweeted me and said, why do you hate Leonard Fournette? I don't hate Leonard Fournette. I love Leonard Fournette. I'm just saying, here's a guy that had a completely different playing style.
Right.
The first early half of the season, and then he gets hurt, and it's changed.
There are backs in their career who have been known to run out of bounds. He wasn't one of them.
No, I'm not being critical.
Early in his career. Right.
Hey, let's knock out a couple more calls. John in Nashville. John, you're on the air now. What's up?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How you doing?
Great. What's happening?
You know, I just wanted to talk about how much confidence I have now in the kicking. I'll tell you what, Josh Lambeau is a godsend. And I don't know if you guys talked too much about the special teams earlier. I kind of had to leave the stream go. But how much do you think the play calling, as far as fake punts, how much confidence do they have in the defense that affects the play calling in that way? You know, if you get close to a field goal, you get in that hairy zone where you don't know to go for it on fourth down or you kick it. If you have a reliable kicker, you kick it. If you have a reliable defense, do you think that opens up maybe some of Joey D's play calling when they do decide to go with the fake punts?
No, I think the strong defense gives the head coach more confidence to go for it on fourth and short, midfield, or just on the verge of being in field goal range. I think that does affect it and how you call the game.
But it also helps the fakes.
If you talk to Joe Deeb, I'm not Joe Deeb. Joe Deeb's the owner of Bonos, bro.
Joe DeCamillis.
I know, but he said Joe Deeb. And he said Joe Deeb.
He wants him to send some barbecue over.
He wants to do a commercial for him next, commercial. Too. I don't know. Yeah.
Joe DeCamillis is, if you ask him, the fakes are dialed up based on the look they get. And they don't go in. They go into the week saying, if we get this look, make a green call or whatever their call is. I'm making it up. It could be a state, some word that's going to key everybody on the field that they're going to run a fake. That's how every team does it, by the way. Every team has a fake, and if they get the look they feel like the fake's going to work against, they're going to call it. I don't think that. Now, I guess could Doug give more leeway because of the defense? That's a possibility. But I think it goes into the decision making of when they go for it in fourth and short situations.
See, and he brought up a good point because they have such a good defense that they shouldn't try and protect the offense because of the defense. You should be able to be – if your defense, offense makes a mistake, your defense will be there to bail them out.
Yeah, but you don't want to – yeah, but here, I disagree with you, Pete. You can play tighter on offense because you don't have to take chances. So you don't you limit the turnovers and play field position football.
Well, and then you get defense, in the game where something goes wrong in the fourth quarter, and you all of a sudden you
I'm
lose
not
the football
I'm not
game.
Disagreeing that portion of it, Pete. But I think if you were to ask them, their philosophy is let's not turn it over and let our defense play.
I get
great.
It.
That's so.
I get that, but I think if you tried to do it
that's
the
right.
other way,
hey Pete, the run you're looking for that I was talking about is 9:48 left in the fourth quarter.
Okay, I'm going to go look at it.
Final call tonight. We go to Madison, Wisconsin. I'm sure Ross has had some world-famous Plaza Burgers in his time. What's up, Ross?
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Good. What's up?
Good.
I have a question for Tony. What would it look like for a rookie left tackle to hit the rookie wall? And do you think that's what's happening with Cam Robinson right now? I'll take your answer off the air.
Thanks for the call.
So it's a great question. I don't know what it looks like. I think it's probably different for each guy. Again, the play changed after the injury. So I don't know if he's dealing with an ankle still. And we saw him go down yesterday again. He jammed. And watching it, it
was
almost
it the other ankle?
I don't know because it looks like – did you see the play?
No.
It looked like he almost hyperextended his knee.
Right.
But I think he jammed his ankle in there and overextended or flat. It was weird. It was non-contact, by the way. And so he's not healthy, and I think the danger for a young player like that is you start cheating a little bit in your technique, or your technique gets sloppy, because I've seen that, and then it just kind of snowballs on you. And when you're healthy, you want to make sure you really got to focus on your technique, because you can't get away with things and make up with your athletic ability as much, and so your technique has to be really good. So I don't know if it's a rookie wall. I think the kid's beat up. I think his ankle's bothering him. I think he's gotten some bad habits from a technique standpoint. All very fixable, all correctable.
He's a tough kid, though.
Very tough.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that.
Never missed a game in college. Hey, let's come back, and we'll get to some news from around the National Football League. Recap Week 13, the JTA Game Day Express features two downtown locations, along with rides from the north side, JTB and Phillips Highway, and the beaches. Buy your tickets now at JTAFLA.com. Final moments of Jaguars Monday coming up on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HenneyAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
Final moments, Jaguars Monday. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Boselli, Pete Prisco. Jags win 30-10. That was one of a busy day of games in the National Football League in Week 13. Before we get to the games in Week 13 around the National Football League, we'll get to the music whenever Joe decides to get to it. Thank you very much. Cue the music. National Football.
You just said before
league.
We get to the game.
Yeah, you're gonna. Yeah, you. Have
I'm not gonna play it if you're saying. I figured something else was coming.
That's true. It was. He's supposed to lead with something else we talked about in the break, and I'll do it for him.
Go for it,
Pete. What about Herm Edwards? You happy or upset about that hire?
I don't know, but they had some weird structure of the front office. Did you see they're gonna have an NFL style front office and. They're going to have a scouting department, and he's going to come in late to recruit. I don't know. It's a weird dynamic. Look, the bottom line is if they don't start paying players the way they're supposed to, they won't win it.
What do you mean? What do you mean he's going to come in late? What does he have to do? He's going to finish his
ESPN? He's going to be the closer on the recruiting trip, supposedly, or something. Like, he's not going to leave Tempe a lot. That's
going to work out well. Yeah, don't worry. Do they realize they're competing with other coaches and schools that the head coach will actually show up to go recruit the kid?
Right. I know. It doesn't make any sense to me. Mm. I don't get it. Did you see his press conference today? Some guy said, hey, I'm from Devil Digest, which is a publication out there. And he looked at him and said, hey, I'm a Christian. No devil stuff here. And he's coaching it. They go, do you know where you're coaching? You're at Arizona State Sun Devils.
Yeah, he might want to. I love Herm, but you might want to look that up before.
I do, too. And look, he's a great guy. I think his personality will be good. I think he'll help. But, again, bottom line is, you don't pay the players what they're supposed to make, then you're not going to win, period.
Well, more than that, because I don't think you have to pay guys. You better get the right staff. And does he know guys?
Well, he's keeping the staff. He's keeping the court. Billy Napier, who's the offensive coordinator, actually a good young coach, did a nice job. And Phil Bennett, I don't know if you're familiar with him.
So wait a second. So he's keeping the entire staff of the old coach?
No, not the entire staff. The coordinators he's keeping.
Whatever. What? Your school's a mess. Yeah. We'll beat you again next
year. It is
year,
a mess. So. That's what why I get frustrated by it.
Yeah.
Who should they have hired, though? Kevin Sumlin?
Me.
Tony Boselli. Was your hat in the ring?
I tried to get it report. I tried to get it out there, but they couldn't get it done.
I mean, Tony, do you think your coach at USC is a good coach? How do you know? You have no idea.
I think he's a really good coach. He won.
You do?
Yeah, he's 11-2 this
year.
They're
in the Cotton Bowl, right?
Yeah, I know, but they get players. I wonder how.
He's a good coach. They went to the Rose Bowl last year. They're going to the Cotton Bowl this year.
Their teeth kicked in by Alabama a couple of years ago.
Well, that was before.
Yeah. You look at the Final Four schools. Look at the Final Four schools, right? Alabama, powerhouse. Clemson, they got so many NFL players on that defense, it's unbelievable. Oklahoma, I mean, they've been the power over the years. And then Georgia. Look at those four schools. You tell me those towns, how great those towns are.
Athens is awesome. Athens is fantastic. Tuscaloosa
is
fantastic.
I was going to say Athens is a good city.
Norman and Oklahoma
Athens.
City are
no,
pretty cool.
No, it's not. Norman is
I
not.
Lived there for
Norman.
A year.
No, it's not.
Norman. No, it's not. I lived in Oklahoma.
And I've never been to Clemson, so I couldn't tell you.
I've been to Clemson to stop by.
Clemson's pretty now, Pete.
It's in the middle of nowhere.
It is. I'm not saying I would go there, but it's a pretty campus, pretty area. They have lake. Athens is beautiful. I've never been to Tuscaloosa, so I have no idea.
That's awesome.
But better yet, the Boselli Bowl. The Bosellis play the Priscos in the bowl game.
What?
NC State against Arizona State in the Sun Bowl.
Oh, that's right. They are playing
Sun Bowl.
Each other.
El Paso. I've been to three Sun Bowls.
Yeah. I have
too.
It's
the only bowl game on CBS.
That's correct.
It's not a great. I played.
It's
there
like the second oldest bowl game there is.
I did that my freshman year. Mm-hmm. I don't need to do it again.
I've spent
did you go to Juarez?
We did.
they stopped allowing them to go to
yeah,
Juarez
they can't
when
go
I
anymore.
It. Yeah, yeah. We
no, I know.
Yeah.
I went though, Pete. Yes.
Hey, let's hit around the National Football League. Gronkowski, one game suspension for the cheap shot. Is that enough?
Yes. He's never.
Yes,
he has a dirty
play.
He has no history.
But it was a dirty play.
Borderline.
You know what bothered me about that play as much as anything? Why didn't anybody on the Bills retaliate?
I know. That was ridiculous. It was a dirty play. Someone should have taken a shot at him, though.
Would you have hit him if Tony,
yes.
he did that?
If I'd have seen it, yes. If I'd have seen it.
Yes.
But now,
yeah, they were standing right there.
Well, some guys might not have seen it. The big guys. Some of the big guys might not have seen it and didn't do anything about it.
Giants fired Ben McAdoo and Jerry Reese today. Where do they start?
Before we get there, I forgot one thing. They play against each other. They play each other again here soon, Pete.
Ah.
I guarantee you guys will take a shot or two at him. That game. Guaranteed. Watch out.
It was weird the way he like loaded up to take
a
shot.
It was unbelievable.
It looked WWE-ish.
It was bad. So let's go. Sorry. Jerry Reese, Ben McAdoo.
Fired.
They should have never. First of all, they should have fired Jerry Reese instead of Tom Coughlin.
Correct.
They should have kept him, let him stay there until he wanted to leave. They did not. And they got what they deserve.
And the other one was Mike Smith was going to get that job, and Eli Manning supposedly went to the front office and the owners and said, look, I want Ben McAdoo because I don't want to change coordinators. So,
and then Ben McAdoo decided to bench him.
Yeah.
And now Eli, the report is going to start again this week.
Right.
That's the most asinine. It's the most asinine thing I've ever heard.
Terrible.
It's awful. Terrible mismanagement. And if I was Eli, I'd ask for my release at the end of the year.
Depends on who the coach is.
Interesting. Let's get to Monday Night Football. The Killer Bees, Ben, Bell, and Brian, and the 9-2 Pittsburgh Steelers. They look to keep pace with the Patriots in the AFC. What?
You said Ben, Bell, and Bryant, not Brown? No, Antonio Brown. We're going to go Martavius Bryant instead of.
Bryant might not. Yeah. What's his status?
I said the wrong B.
Yeah. Wait a second.
Well, Brown was not going to play tonight when I wrote
here
this.
Here we go. I'm an idiot.
No, wait a minute.
We're going to go Martavius Bryant.
Brown was not going to play until just earlier. I wrote this earlier.
He was
sorry.
Questionable the whole week.
Right.
He's playing.
He announced it before the game that he's playing.
Yeah, no, he's
and that was
yeah,
after I
playing.
Wrote the thing.
But
sorry.
The killer piece under no circumstance would be Martavius Bryant.
All right, let me.
Holy cow!
Take two. Here we go.
Three. Do it over. Start. Play the music. Ready? And cue it back up.
Monday Night Football. The Killer Bees. Ben, Bell, and Brown. And the 9-2 Pittsburgh Steelers look to keep pace with the Patriots in the AFC playoff chase. They visit the old rival Cincinnati Bengals at 5-6, a team hoping to stay relevant in December. Who you got at Paul Brown Stadium tonight?
I picked the Bengals. It's an upset.
I did too.
The Brown. I mean, obviously the Killer Bees with Martavis Bryant are a better football team. But the Bengals have started to play better. I think they're a desperate team, and they have to win this to stay in the playoff race. And I just got something about it when I was picking games, Pete. I just think they're going to win.
I'm with you. I picked the Bengals to win the game as well, Tony. I think desperation's at play here. I think this is a to stay in the race and have a chance. I think they win this football game. And you know there's going to be something nasty happening because every time Pittsburgh plays Cincinnati, somebody gets into some kind of ruckus. There's going to be a fight or something or whatever. It's going to be pretty nasty.
Always fun to watch this one. Steelers and the Bengals tonight. Jags and the Seahawks coming up this week, Pete. We're looking forward to it. Should be a fun week here at Everbank Field. We'll talk to you next week.
You got it, fellas. Take care.
Pete Prisco, CBS Sports Senior Writer. Tony Boselli, The Pride. Max Hochman, Hollywood. Dave DeCandis, Hiding Behind the Glass. And Joe Fortunato, I'm JP Shatterick. We'll see you next week. Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.